are listening to the Rev Ministries Podcast. This podcast is taken from the Rev Landon Schott sermons from his home church and travels around the world. For more resources or information, please check out our website at therev.com or check out our iTunes store.
Let's talk about dealing with Jezebel. This is some new stuff. It's not in the book. This is what I'm working for with the next book. I'm right now writing a second book. And I'm going to call it Surviving Jezebel. And I'm in the initial stages, and it's birthed out of a broken heart for so many people that encounter the spirit of Jezebel and they don't survive. Their marriage don't survive, their ministries don't survive, and they don't make it. They never want to go back to the house of God. They never want to go back to the things of God. And they're never the same. And I believe that you can survive Jezebel and not only survive, but I believe that you can survive, or excuse me, thrive. So I want to look at this and turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 16. First Kings, chapter 16. Talking about Ahab, who I call the king of compromise. You can't survive Jezebel when you need her. And this is where pastors have to be honest with themselves. And the initial stages of the relationship with Jezebel is usually she's helpful. It's usually she outworks everybody, outserves everybody, outvolunteers everybody, and it's so helpful. And every pastor needs people. And so, yeah, come serve, come pray, come do. And at the same time, You're not vetting. Sometimes we don't use the best discernment, and then people get close and become influential, but their hearts are corrupt. First Kings chapter 16 is the story of Ahab in Naboth's vineyard. It says, "But Ahab, son of Omri, did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord, even more than any other kings before him. And though it were not enough to follow the examples of Jeroboam, he married Jezebel, the daughter of King Ethbaal." It says, "And he began to bow down and worship Baal. First, Ahab built a temple and an altar to Baal to Samaria. Then he set up the Asherah pole. He did more to provoke the Lord to anger than any other kings in Israel before him." Ahab needed Jezebel. Flip over to 1 Kings chapter 21. I call him the king of compromise. And you need to hear this. Compromise provokes the Lord. A youth minister asked me last week, they said, "Hey, what's one of the most important things that a youth minister can do to continue to grow and not fall away?" And I was like, "Well, it's the same as a pastor or anyone else. It's that not begin to compromise." Because when you compromise with the little things, it ends up taking you out on the big things. Sometime later, 1 Kings 21:1, there was an incident involving a vineyard belonging to Naboth. The vineyard was in Jezreel, close to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. Ahab said to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden since it's close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I'll pay you with whatever it's worth." Verse 3, "But Naboth replied, 'The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing and give you the inheritance of my ancestors.' So Ahab went home sullen and angry because Naboth, the Jezreelite, had said, 'I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors.' He lay on his bed sulking and refused to eat. His wife Jezebel came in and asked him, 'Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?' He answered her, 'Because Naboth, the Jezreelite, I said, sell me your vineyard, or you prefer, I'll give you another one in this place. But he said, I will not give it to you.' Jezebel, his wife, said, 'Is this how you act as king of Israel? Get up. Cheer up. I will go get the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite.'" Now watch this. Ahab didn't stop her. Ahab didn't ask any questions. Okay, the Holy Spirit dropped a bomb on me this week, and it convicted me. Here's what he said to me. Not wanting to know is compromise. I don't want to know. I don't want to know. Hear this, pastors, leaders. It's compromise. What do you mean you don't want to know what's going on in your flocks? What do you mean you don't want to know what's going on in the private life of your worship leader? What do you mean you don't want to know what's going on with your youth pastor and his fiance? What do you mean you don't want to know? Come on, somebody. I'm not saying control. I'm not saying manipulate. I'm saying, why would you not want to know? Because when you know, there's a responsibility. And sometimes we get this mindset that it's safer, just, I don't want to know anything. It's like we're acting like it's your church is like the mob. I don't want to know. I didn't see you. I didn't see it. Whoever it was, I didn't see it. I'm being funny, but I'm serious. Ahab didn't ask any questions. What do you mean you're going to get it for me? How are you going to get it for me? He said he wouldn't sell it. A majority of you know the story. She sent two scoundrels on against him, and they murdered him. And then he went and he took it. And it's interesting that he said, I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors. If you read Exodus in 30, it had to do with the year of Jubilee. They would not give up a family's plot of land for anything. And even if they had to give it away for a period of time or sell it, it would come back to them at the year of Jubilee. And Naboth knew that this king would not give what was God's back to him. He would not compromise, watch this, with his legacy. I feel this in my spirit. Listen, a relationship with Jezebel, hear this, pastors, I'm prophesying. A relationship with Jezebel will derail legacy. It will derail legacy. Why? Because Jezebel is one of the originators of child sacrifice, or what I call spiritual abortion. I have seen more families destroyed. I have seen more spiritual fathers and spiritual sons, relationships destroyed than I could count or remember. Over and over in different places. It's amazing. I describe a spirit and people say, that's my pastor, that's my father, that's my leader, that's this person. You're describing them to the T, and I've never met that person. I don't know who they are, what they look like, the color of their skin, their background, nothing about them. I'm describing a spirit. But so many individuals, it comes to destroy the fabric of an entire family. I wrote this, there's no inheritance for an aborted child. I believe that the spirit of Jezebel's greatest attack of any church is on its legacy. It's a spiritual abortion to destroy the spiritual inheritance that is passed down from generation to generation. In the story of Naboth's vineyard, we find the revelation, the attack on spiritual inheritance. Naboth refused to give Ahab what he valued most as his inheritance. The enemy is after the spiritual inheritance. And so many times when Jezebel's involved, what suffer are spiritual children, and spiritual children are aborted. It's a story of a guy I knew. His father was sexually deviant. And I've never experienced this, so I don't know how it works. But he suppressed the memories. In all his childhood, he was molested by his father. And I was one of the closest friends to him, but I never knew it growing up. His dad was in the church and apart. And when we were in our mid-20s, it came out that his father was sexually molesting his nephews that was caught in the act. And as he's on the phone with me telling me, he began to weep. And he said, and I think my dad molested me too. Suppressed it. Years down the road, he had a situation with his pastor, and his pastor was his new dad. His dad was in jail, and his father-in-law passed away. His pastor was the last male figure in his life. This pastor struggled with the Jezebel spirit. Very controlling, manipulating. You can't be friends with this person. You can't do this with this person. You can't do this. And it finally got to the point where it was just so unhealthy. He just said, Pastor, I love you, but I'm not going to do these things that I believe are unbiblical that you're asking me to do and cut off relationship with everyone and everything. And his pastor looked at him in the face and said, well, you never were a son, were you? Just a knife in turning. Whose father's in prison. His father-in-law died. His only father's his spiritual father that most of us look to, maybe even with more respect than our natural father. And his spiritual father said, you're not a son. He still hasn't recovered, and it's been 10 years. The enemy can see further down the road than the majority of us, and he's coming after legacy. Jezebel, just like sacrificing babies on the altar, this spirit sacrifices spiritual children through spiritual abortion. And hear this, it's destroying churches. I want to minister on this, and I want to minister to you. I was on a prayer run. I like to run when I pray. And there's something about being physically tired and spiritually alert. And I don't know all of the ins and outs, but I hear the Lord so much more after I've ran about a mile. I don't even go running for exercise. I go it because I get to hear the Lord. As running, I run late at night. It's dark. And Vince or whoever's that wonderful spirit lady who, she's got a great spirit, whoever was on the, I don't know her name, but she's awesome. Would you just come and play anything that's on your heart? And I'm running on this trail. And I hear one phrase. I'm thinking about some of the stuff I'm sharing with you. And I just hear this phrase out loud. And the phrase just was this, Isaac on the altar. Never even thought about this before. Don't know how this relates to Jezebel. And I'm running on this trail. And I'm not a crier. I like Ultimate Fighting. I like football. I'm a man's man. I wear skinny jeans. I'm as tough as nails. And I don't cry. But I get in the presence of God and something happens. And I love it. And I'm running on this trail. Mama Reese, I just begin just to weep before the Lord as I'm running. Something just came to me that I never saw before. It's a story of Abraham sacrificing his only son on an altar. The greatest test Abraham ever faced, your son, your only son, Isaac. But I'd only, in 18 years of full-time ministry, been in church just about every other day of my entire life, I've only heard it taught from Abraham's perspective. And I just hear this Isaac on the altar. I want you to imagine this. Do you know that most theologians believe that Isaac wasn't a boy, like we think of a boy? But most theologians believe he was between the age of 20 and some even think up to 37 years old. Think about it. He had to be able to do the 3-day journey. He had to be able to carry all that firewood by himself up the mountain. Worst case scenario, an older teenager. And in the entire time in that story, in Genesis, where is it at? I believe it's 22. I don't have it written down. This is fresh. I wrote this morning. The entire time that he's going up the mountain with his father, he doesn't argue. But he's wise enough to ask, where's the ram? Where's the sheep? Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, the Lord will provide. One theologian believes that he's 33 years old. It's interesting, the parallel between Isaac and Jesus. The Bible says that they're on a 3-day journey. Jesus was on a 3-day journey when he died. Isaac had to carry his own wood. Jesus carried his wooden cross. And Isaac had to choose, like Jesus had to choose, to surrender to the will of the Father. The Bible says that they were on the mountains of Jerusalem, where some theologians believe that they were actually on Calvary. The same Calvary that we'll be in together in November. That the place where God called Abraham was the same place that Jesus died. His son, his only son. Watch this. I was just thinking about this. Could you imagine Isaac willingly getting on the altar? The Bible says that he tied his hands, but he put no fight, no struggle. He didn't bind them so he wouldn't run away. He bound them because it was protocol. Abraham's faced with the task of cutting Isaac's throat, dismembering his body like they would all the other sacrifices, and burning it and offering it as an altar to the Lord. Watch this. Isaac is surrendered to the process. Is anyone here today? Isaac knows what has to happen. I am the sacrifice. I wonder if it one time went through Isaac's mind, why is my father doing this to me? Why is my dad doing this to me? And if I'm transparent with you, I thought more times than I can count, why am I going through this? Why have I encountered Jezebel? What mistakes have I made? I'm being punished. The Lord's letting me do this because I made mistakes. And I had all these reasons in my mind over and over and over. And finally, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and said, son, it's not that you're doing something wrong. It's that you're doing something right. I was in a service with Lou Engle one night, and as he was ministering on the spirit of Jezebel, I felt the glory of God begin to fall on me, and it began to weigh on me, and I found myself over and over just hunched the power and the weight of the Lord on me as I was completely bent over, but I was still standing up. And the Lord said, the weight from the attack of Jezebel has caused you to bow before me. And then instantly I'm reminded about 7,000 men of Israel whose knees haven't bowed to Baal and whose mouths haven't kissed them. Isaac's on an altar that he didn't deserve. He didn't do anything wrong. And it wasn't because he said yes to Abraham. He was surrendered to the will of his heavenly father. I would argue that it wasn't just Abraham's decision. But it was Isaac's decision. And watch, legacy was on the line. Oh. The Holy Spirit said this to me this morning. There is a sacrifice to surviving Jezebel. Flesh has to die on an altar. Abraham didn't make the decision, Isaac did. Isaac was in the process of getting aborted, but he chose to surrender to the will of the Father. Hear this word. You survive Jezebel when you can't be aborted because a willing sacrifice can't be aborted. Ah, I feel the Holy Spirit. No spiritual father can abort you when you say, I will willingly go to an altar. I feel like God wants to minister to somebody, that you stop saying, why did this happen to me? That you stop trying to figure out if this is a punishment, but you surrender to the will of the Father and say, Lord, a part of me can die on this altar, but I tell you, I serve the God of resurrection. Hear this. Sometimes relationships have to die. Sometimes ministries have to die. Sometimes things inside you that you're believing for have to die. But Isaac knew one thing. I serve the God of resurrection. I serve the living God. That's why Psalms 23 says it like this. He restoreth my soul. Here's what I heard the Lord say to me. If you're willing to guard your heart when you survive Jezebel, here's three things that happen. You restore your faith in God. Relationships will be restored with people and with the Father. And also provision will be restored. A ram will be in the thicket. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't know what time it is. I don't care. I heard the Lord say this, that he was going to prevent people from walking down a path, and he was going to heal people that have been cursed. Do you know it doesn't matter your age? Some of you, it's been a long time, but time doesn't heal all wounds. Jesus does. Oh, I just saw a picture right now. If we could turn off those side lights. Just, if you know Fill Me Up, play that if you know that song. I just got a picture. Here's the picture I just got. I got a picture of you going to the altar and you were fighting the whole way. I just saw a picture of you struggling. I can't, don't sacrifice me. Don't sacrifice me. Why is my spiritual father doing this? Why are they doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Surviving Jezebel and thriving after Jezebel comes from that same example that Isaac set, that Jesus showed us as he prayed to the point, tears of blood, sweating blood, where he said, Father, I wouldn't have chose it this way. I didn't will it this way. I didn't wish it to be this way, but not my will, but your will be done. If you're willing to sacrifice yourself on an altar, hear this, Jezebel or a spiritual father or mother cannot abort you. They cannot abort the call of God on your life. They can't abort the anointing over your life. They can't abort the words that are spoken. Hear this now. They can't take back prophetic words. They can't take back moments where I call the Holy Spirit keeping you. They can't take back the call. They didn't give the call. They can't take back the call. Even as they bore you and God used them to bring you in this world, they can't take back the mantle. They can't take back the coat. They can't take back the cloak. They can't take back what God predestined over your life. They cannot curse what God himself has blessed. And I feel the Spirit of God in this place saying, I have blessed you. I feel the Spirit of God saying, I have blessed your life. I have blessed your ministry. I declare right now the arrows of lies, the fiery arrows, they do not have permission. They do not have, hear this, authority. They do not have force. I see arrows going into a hedge, but they can't go through that.
the hedge because the hedge of protection is so thick. I declare that there are angels of war encamped about you. I see them around your house. I see them around your ministry. And though Jezebel has threats, hear this, she only has threats because she doesn't have the first and the last word. She doesn't have the authority of God. And I declare right now, curses are being broken. I declare lies are being broken. I declare right now, every word curse, even the ones that you said she's right, I declare right now that it bears no fruit.
I feel in my spirit that that spirit of Jezebel has spoken over you. Hear this. Lies of truth. You say, Landon, how is there lies of truth? She had said truthful things, but used them to lie and manipulate. Oh. She said you did things that you didn't do. She tried to predict, judge your heart condition that she didn't know. She tried to project what was in her on you. Oh, and here's what I feel. And she convinced you she was right. That manipulating spirit caused you to think she was right.
But I declare it's being exposed. It's being exposed. It's being exposed in this place. And I declare right now, he's trading right now beauty for ashes. I declare he's trading. Whoa, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, I'm giving them anointing. Watch, he wasn't a savior. Jesus wasn't a savior until he got on that altar. He wasn't a savior. He wasn't the mercy seat until he suffered the spotless lamb sacrifice. See, I declare right now over your life, here's what I just heard the Lord say, Mama Reese. Hear this. I heard the Lord say, I'm giving you an anointing. I'm giving you an anointing on that altar where you said, I will be sacrificed. My pride will be sacrificed. My ministry will be sacrificed. My mental sanity will be sacrificed. And I heard the Lord say, on that altar of sacrifice, son and daughter, hear this today. I'm giving you a ministry of reconciliation, a ministry of power, a ministry of healing. I'm giving you an anointing. I'm rising you up as a prophetic voice to shake a city, to shake a region, because you did not run from the altar.
Thank you for listening to the Rev Ministries podcast. If this message has blessed you, we want to encourage you to share it with a friend. For more information about this ministry and how you can make a difference by financially supporting us, please visit our website at therev.com. For full-length sermons and episodes on audio or video, please visit us at therev.com or search for us on iTunes.